What just happened? I'll tell you what just happened. This guy just delivered a baby. Well, I was there anyway. She did all the work. We've known for a couple of days now that her time was near. But when her labor began, I was still scared. Was this really happening now? What was I supposed to do? And what would happen next? I've asked those questions a lot these past months. But now, there's a baby in there. He's beautiful. A little bit of dark hair on his head, fingers stretching to grab the world. Eyes that seem to see everything, just like his mother's. Healthy, strong set of lungs. Sleeping now, though, both of them. I just can't believe it. She's my wife. He's my son. My name is Joseph, and though it happened in a way I never could have planned or chosen, I just became a father. But by trade, I'm a carpenter. I make simple things. I put them together so that they become something that people can use. I like building things. You follow the plan, things work out. If only life worked that way. My father was a carpenter, as was his father and his father, generations of men. But if you go back far enough, you find something different. Some of our ancestors were shepherds until one of them became a king, David. Our father reminded us of this so often that my brother and I had a name for it. We called it the Son of David speech. Don't ever forget that you are descended from a great king. Live like it. As a kid, I would roll my eyes. All you had to do was look around our house and realize we weren't royalty. Descended from David himself? I wanted to believe it, but believing isn't always easy. And even if it was true, it was a long time ago. But the past has a way of hanging around. For my people, who your father was, what your grandparents did, pretty much tells you what kind of life you'll have. You follow the rules, you stick with the plan, you do what people expect. So when Mary and I became engaged, we were doing what people expected. You don't have a lot of marriage prospects in a town as small as Nazareth. I knew her family, she knew mine. It had been arranged years earlier. From what I knew, Mary was kind and graceful and steady. I believed it was a good match. I was looking forward to our future together. But not long after our engagement was announced, Mary left town unexpectedly. Her father said that she'd gone to visit a relative. Seemed awfully sudden. Something must have come up. 3 months went by, and I was surprised how much I longed to see her. And just as suddenly, she returned. And as soon as I heard the news, I set out for her family's home. On my way, I passed by their field, and there she was, sitting, alone, looking deep in thought, maybe in prayer. A basket was by her side, as if she was intending to gather herbs or flowers. Mary, I called out. startling her. When she saw me, a strange expression crossed her face. Was she happy to see me? I couldn't really tell. She looked different somehow. I couldn't put my finger on it. "Welcome home," I said, feeling a little bit awkward. Soon we would share a home, our lives, but we were still getting to know each other. And it wasn't really appropriate for us to be alone together like this. So when she beckoned me to come closer, I hesitated. But she looked so beautiful that day and determined. "Come here, Joseph," she said. "There's something I need to tell you." "What?" I said, a little confused. She took a deep breath. "Joseph," she said, and her eyes were shining, "I'm pregnant." Has life ever just pulled the rug out from under you? "What?" I said. "I'm going to have a baby," she said. Blushing, she stood up, and I could see it just beginning to show. The roundness where a baby was growing. I took a step back. "What?" Seemed to be all I could say. "It's not what you think," she said. And for the first time, she began to look nervous. I've seen an angel, Joseph. I thought maybe you'd seen one too." Well, now I was getting nervous. Why would I have seen an angel? And then she told me a story, such as a man has never been told before, and never will again, I bet. An angel, she said, had come to her and told her that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit of our God, and that her child therefore would be God's own son. "I know it's hard to believe," she said. "Hard to believe," I looked back at her. "Try impossible." You can't say that, Mary. It's blasphemy." "It's not blasphemy if it's true," she said. I was speechless. "Joseph," she finally said, "what are you thinking?" I was thinking, strangely enough, about love. In our tradition, love isn't a reason two people get engaged. Marriage is more practical than that. If you're lucky, you develop affection over time. My parents did. And I had naively begun to hope that Mary and I could share that kind of bond. I liked her. She seemed to be the kind of woman that I could be with, I could laugh with and talk with. But now I felt like a complete fool. The whole thing seemed ridiculous. What did we even know about each other? How could you ever trust someone enough to love them or to let them love you? And even if I wanted to believe her, how could I love a child that wasn't my own? And whose child was it anyway? Because there definitely was a child. I could have sworn Mary believed her own words. She didn't seem to be lying or making it up. But she had to be. It would be a miracle if she wasn't. I've believed in God my whole life. I've kept his laws, honored our rituals, lived peacefully with his people. But I've never seen God or felt like he'd seen me. In the old days, there were prophets, there were dreams and visions and miracles. But those days, they were as distant as my relation to King David. Our rabbis weren't having visions these days, let alone a nobody girl from Nazareth. It was hard to believe that God was suddenly taking an interest in people like us. And then a voice in the back of my head called up the story of when David was chosen to be king. David, a nobody shepherd from Bethlehem. Man looks at the outward appearance, the scripture says, but the Lord sees the heart. Mary's angel said that the Lord had seen her, that he was pleased with her. Or so she said. I looked back at her. She was waiting for me to say something. I looked at the ground. I looked at the stones. I looked at the grain in the fields. Who was she kidding? One way or another, she'd been deceived. I can't believe it, Mary, I said. But she wouldn't back down, even when I told her I would have to end the engagement. I couldn't hear anymore. My head hurt. My heart hurt. So I left and made my way home, stuck alone with my thoughts. She had to know I would end it. My own honor. More than that, my righteousness before God was on the line. For a woman to become pregnant outside of marriage was scandalous. I couldn't be associated with that. The law required that I divorce her. My religion, my reputation required that I divorce her. So why did my heart ache so? That night I couldn't sleep. I couldn't get comfortable in my body or my soul. I tried to remind myself that my conscience was clear. I had done nothing wrong. Mary was the one who'd been unfaithful. There was no other explanation except hers. I told myself I would settle it first thing in the morning, discreetly, to avoid a public spectacle. It didn't sit well with me, exposing her to public shame. But who was I kidding? Of course there would be shame. Not just for her, but for me and for my family. If I brought this to the elders, I would be humiliated. The joke of the village. Did you hear about Joseph? I felt trapped. I had followed all of life's rules, only to find myself in a situation where none of the rules seemed to help. I got out of bed and just paced the room. I needed to talk to someone. But who? Who would you go to if your life suddenly fell apart? Who could you trust? Who would be there unconditionally? I thought of my friends, my brothers, my neighbors. But the kind of person who would be there, who would bear with me, who would love me through this, I couldn't come up with anyone. Ironically, I thought of Mary. She was that kind of person. Or so I thought. I tried to pray, but the words wouldn't come. I felt as if I couldn't breathe, as if the world was closing in on me. "Calm down," I said, but I couldn't. I was panicking. There seemed to be no way out. I laid awake in this state for hours until finally somehow I fell asleep. It wasn't restful though. My dreams were dark. Literally, I was walking in shadows, couldn't see my way. But then there was a light. It was distant, as if someone far away was holding a lantern. It began coming toward me, and I was still, and I waited. And then out of the darkness emerged such a being as I have no words for. Beautiful and frightening, delicate, but strong. Like a man, but not. And bright. I was afraid of this being, but I was drawn toward it, as if to leave the darkness behind. It occurred to me that I had never even asked Mary what her angel looked like. "Joseph," this angel said, "son of David." There it was, son of David. There was no mockery in the angel's voice, but I couldn't help feeling ashamed. I'd never felt less like a king. "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Well, the angel, as we carpenters say, had hit the nail on the head. I was afraid. Underneath the hurt and the confusion, the anger, there was fear. Fear of looking foolish, fear of embarrassing my family. Fear of making the wrong decision, of what people would say. Fear of offering love and discovering I wasn't loved in return. "What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit," the angel said. "She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus." It was a rebuke. The angel was backing Mary up. But somehow I felt as if a weight was gone. He was giving me permission to believe. And as incredible as it was to hear it from an angel, I sort of wished I had believed Mary first. That I had listened to that part of me that wanted to believe. I wondered, what else haven't I believed? What else might God show me if I let him? And when the angel said, "You will name him," something in my heart leaped. You will name him. A father names his son. Somehow, I would be the child's father. I felt excited, like I'd been chosen to play a part in this whole thing, like I mattered, like my life wasn't ruined after all. I felt loved. Jesus. It wasn't a family name, which would have been the obvious choice for a firstborn son. When you choose a name that's not from your ancestors, it's like starting another family. It's a whole new thing. "He will save his people from their sins," the angel said. I wasn't sure how a baby was going to do that, but in a sense, he was already saving me. Saving me from my fears. from caring more about the rules than about the one who gave them, the one who loves his people enough to see their hearts. What would happen here if I put love above expectations? Marrying Mary would be a move that no one would understand. No one would affirm it. There would be no reason to do it except love. Taking the love that God had shown me and offering it to another human being, or in this case, two of them. Suddenly I realized that the angel was God, that the dream was over. I fell back to sleep for a couple of hours. But when I woke up, I threw some water on my face and I went straight for Mary's house. Yesterday, I felt trapped. Today, I felt free. I met her father's eyes. "I'm ready to finish the arrangements," I said, "to bring Mary home as my wife." So we began our life together in Nazareth. Beginning a marriage, sharing a home, it's strange enough without our situation. Outside, there were rumors about the timing of Mary's pregnancy. Inside, my wife was growing a child that I had no part in creating. There was so little we understood about what was happening or why we had been chosen. But we were in it together, and in that togetherness, something else was beginning to grow. Love. We'd hardly settled in when we heard news about the census. Rome reminding us who's in charge. Every man and his family must report to their ancestral home. All the way to Bethlehem? Just to be counted? To be told who else I owed money to? Couldn't we get a break? I was extremely reluctant to travel. Mary was growing more weary with every day. The journey would be long and uncomfortable. But Mary seemed relieved for an excuse to get out of Nazareth for a while. She was tired of the gossip, the innocent questions about how far along are you and when had the wedding been? Mary's a remarkable woman. But there had been no more angels. There were no more dreams. And it was beginning to get to her, all of it. So we packed up the donkey and then hit the road. And it wasn't lost on me that we were going to David City, Bethlehem. But when we arrived, there was no royal welcome for us. I knocked on one door after another, the inn, distant relatives. No one had room for us. No one even tried. Finally, someone offered us a stable, more to get rid of us than out of kindness. It was terrible, but it was all we had, and Mary was exhausted. And then, no sooner had we settled in than her labor began. Lord, why? It was the only prayer I could come up with. Why is it happening this way? What am I supposed to do now? What happens next? Like I said, I've asked those questions a lot these past months. Now, what I'm discovering is it's not the answers I really need as much as the strength to live in them. Somehow we did it. She did it. And the moment she put that baby in my arms, I felt this great sense of responsibility. I'm responsible for him, for them. He's so small, so fragile. but settled on me like a weight. How could I be a father? I didn't feel ready. And that's when the Son of David speech came into my tired head. I could hear my father's own voice. And I realized to my surprise that I'd gotten it wrong all these years. Being descended from a king wasn't about what we owned, our status or wealth. To live like David meant having a certain kind of heart, knowing and trusting in God's love for us. I thought about how we'd gotten here, Mary and I, to Bethlehem, to this night. And the weight began to lift. I felt free. He's really here. It's all true. I had believed it. I had to. But now I could see it. We are not alone. We are loved as we are right now and for who we might become. We'd barely gotten him swaddled in a scrap of blanket we'd brought from home when there was a commotion outside. I appeared through the door and in tumbled a pack of shepherds. "I'm sorry," I apologize. I'm afraid we've occupied your stable." "No," they said, "we're here to see the baby. The angel told us we'd find him here." Well, those words put a spark back in Mary's eyes, tired as she was. "Tell me," she said, and they did, the whole crazy story. And then, one by one, they knelt beside the feeding trough where Jesus was sleeping. "He's a little king," one of them announced, "like David himself." And he looked up at me. "I don't know where you folks are from, but this is David's city, you know. City of shepherds and kings. You know about David?" Oh, Mary couldn't help but laugh, and I laughed, and the shepherds laughed, and the baby woke up, but he settled back down again. Well, the shepherds laughed, making such a racket, they must have woken half the town on their way out. I followed them, wondering, what's next? Blacksmiths? I can't believe it. But actually I can. If angels are talking to peasant girls and to shepherds and to people like me, if they're telling us that God has sent his own son and trusting him to people like us, then he really does love us. Loves us enough to surprise us, to challenge the rules by which we live, to free us to love in a way that defies anyone's expectations. I may just be a carpenter from Nazareth, but carpenters get to change the world. We change it by loving people in a way no one expects. It isn't always easy. It's risky. People don't always understand. But from what I've seen so far, it's a pretty amazing way to live. So I've been working on my dad's speech for my son, Jesus. I'm not sure I've got it right yet, but I've got his whole childhood to work on it. My child, I wonder who you'll be. Maybe you'll be a carpenter. Maybe you'll be a shepherd who one day becomes a king. Maybe one day I'll tell you all of this, how you weren't mine until you were. One thing I know for sure, you are the descendant of a great king. Live like it. Love like it.